I want to first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Certainly good and thankful to be back here at Friendship Church. And I've been looking forward to see how the Lord will bless us this morning. And been looking forward to see what all needs to happen this morning. You know, I've said this plenty of times, and I'm sure I probably said this here a time or two, but the Lord's Day, Sunday, is a day that I look forward to the most throughout my week. You know, it just gives me the little strength to go on in this life. And, you know, and from day to day, you know, I'll try to pray, and I'll try to get in that little closet and try to figure out what the Lord wants me to do. But lots of times I just have to take a step back and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And this morning we do certainly need your prayers. The last two, two weeks ago, I was sort of in a little frame of mind where I just started to forget everything, you know. And I had a preaching appointment at a little church in Carthage, Tennessee, and went there, and I usually carry my Bible case, you know. Whenever it's time for me to preach, I'll take my Bible out of that case. Well, by the time we got to the car, and the doors was already locked, I realized I forgot my Bible case. And so then, after that, we went to my parents' house and just to hang out with them and everything. And next thing you know, we get to our house, which is about a little hour and a half away from them, and I realized I forgot my Bible at their house. And I started to say, well, Lord, I don't know what to do, you know. So I'm using a Bible right now, which quite frankly, I don't use much. And it sort of has me a little nervous. But you know what? The other day, as I was studying, I just realized, you know, it doesn't matter the Bible that I use. It just matters that I'm just willing and able to let the Lord use me. And so this morning, I just desire your prayers that I would just, that the Lord would just free up my heart and mind this morning of what might be bothering me or getting me out of my comfort zone, and just let him use me. You know, this morning I just want to say this. I believe lots of times today the problem with me and the problem with the church today is that we're just in our comfort zone, you know. We get a little comfortable with where we're at. And if the Lord tells us to move, or just something happens where it just gets us out of our comfort zone, we just feel a little uneasy about the situation and uneasy about what's going. But folks, I tell you what, the same God that caused that had 3,000 souls saved on the day of Pentecost is still the same God we serve today. And we just need to be willing vessels for him. And so this morning, we just need your prayers. And, you know, my desire is what John said in the book of John, that I just might decrease and that he would increase, you know. There ain't nothing special about me. I'm just a little boy from Tennessee, from the hills of Tennessee, you know. There ain't nothing special about me. I'm just earthly flesh and bones. But I tell you what, there's something special about the Lord that I serve. There's something special about the man that as a seven-year-old boy on a mourner's bench at Pleasant Grove Church reached down and saved my soul. There's something special about that man. And this morning we just want to lift up his name. And so if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, I'm going to go into the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'm only going to read the first two verses there. And if there was a title or a thought that I had put with this morning before we got started, is I am still enough. I am still enough. And in the first verse of the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? and your labor for that which satisfieth not, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And my thought will come about midways in that second verse there, where it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You know, we live in a world today where a lot of people are just looking for satisfaction. They're looking for something to just satisfy their mind or satisfy their heart. And I tell you this morning, there's only one man that can do that for you, and that's Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to tell you, as that little seven-year-old boy on that mourner's bench, he certainly satisfied my soul one day. And folks, he still is more than enough. You know, today we just need a lean on his everlasting arms and hold to his unseen hand. You know, we don't need to go outside of that. We need to lean and hold on to the hand of Jesus in all things that we do. Whether it's just the Sunday morning service or whether it be just our daily job throughout the week, just holding on to Jesus. And I tell you what, we live in a world today where they don't know truth. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of people who just don't know truth today about what is what. And when I say that, I don't mean just what people put on the news. But I mean when it comes to soul salvation, there's people who try to make up their own ways just to satisfy them. They try to make up their own plan. You know, what the Bible calls it in the book of Galatians, it's called perversion. You know, they twist the gospel to where it just tickles the ears, and it twists the gospel to where it just satisfies their mind and it satisfies their heart, and they don't have to worry about any hurt feelings. They try to twist it around where it could just be pleasing. And folks, this morning I want to tell you, as the church of the true and the living God, we aren't to seek after the satisfaction and the pleasing of men. We're to seek after pleasing God. That's what He calls us to be. That's what He calls us to do. And we are His people. I tell you what, this morning, I'm so thankful that I am an old-time Baptist. But I'm thankful that I am a missionary Baptist. I'm thankful this morning, you know, the people who put that little adjective on the sign there for missionary, you know, they believed in having a mission mind and a mission work ethic for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we still should be able to do that, be having a mission work ethic. Because, folks, you know, we can hoard the gospel up inside these four-sided walls all day long. But what really matters is taking it out there to the world. You know, and there's a job for all of us here to do. It might not be to do the song leading or play the piano or play the guitar. Might not be to do preliminaries. But I tell you what, there's a job out there for every one of us. And that's inviting people to the household of God. You know, I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Just pray with us. Just pray for us. But I tell you, we live in a world who just doesn't know much truth when it comes to the salvation of the soul. I tell you, there was a man last night. You know, I was walking out of the door of our little hotel that we stayed at, and my wife, about a year ago, she got me a shirt made, and when I was pastoring a little church there in Manchester, you know, it said pastor right across the front. And I still wear it from time to time, and I just so happened to go on a little ice cream run. You know, I love my Saturday night ice cream. And so I just happened to go on a little ice cream run last night, walked out of the hotel room. There was a man, he quickly saw that. He said, "Oh, a pastor." And me and him started talking about things, and I told him, I said, "Well, buddy, I'm not a pastor anymore." I said, "Lord told me to step down from the church I was at." And he said, "That's fine, but I do want to talk to you a little bit." And he said, "You know, I was baptized as a 7-year-old boy. And I tell you," and he said, "be honest with you, I don't feel much different." You know, there's this world today, they think that if you're baptized, then it's okay. You'll be okay. And folks, I tell you, that's not it. I believe in baptism as much as the next person does, but I believe in order for you to be baptized in that water, fully immersed, you have to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. And you know, there's people out there, they try to find something to satisfy that need. They try to find something to satisfy them. But folks, I tell you, we know who can satisfy them, and we need to be pointing the world to Him. You know, Isaiah starts off in this 55th chapter, and that he used that first word, H-O. He said, "Ho," meaning stop what you're doing. And he said, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat." You know, there's two things that Jesus said He was. He said that He was the water of life, and He said that He was the bread of life. And folks, I tell you what, today, the gift of salvation, it's already paid for. It was paid long ago on the hill of Calvary, on that mountain called Golgotha. It was paid long ago, paid in full. And I tell you what, there's this world today of lost sinners. They need to come to Him with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. They need to come to Him broken and crushed. And I tell you what, folks, as that 7-year-old boy, I was broken and I was crushed. But I tell you what, I couldn't come to Him with a heart full of pride. And as that 7-year-old boy, you know who I had a lot of pride in? My father, my daddy. I thought the sun and the moon rested upon this man's shoulders. And then there was one day I got to that mourner's bench, crushed, broken down, crying, knowing that I was going to the devil's hell. And I said, "Dad, I don't know what to do." And he said, "Son, I can't do anything for you. All I can do is just pray for you." Well, that's about it. It made me realize that salvation doesn't come from man. And folks, I tell you, there's a whole lot of people out there who believe that the greatest blessing can come from an earthly man. I tell you what, how sad that is. Salvation can't come from a handshake. Salvation can't come from baptism. But salvation comes from the grace of God. And you know what the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah? It says that His hand isn't shortened where He cannot save, and His ear isn't where He cannot hear. I believe He is still in the saving business this morning. I believe that He's still able to save, and I believe He's still able to satisfy. But He needs those people to come to Him. And you know what? That's when it's up to us to pray for the conviction and drawing power of God. You know, salvation, it isn't anything to do with man, but it is a personal one-on-one experience with the Heavenly Father Himself. We read in the 16th chapter of Matthew where Jesus went unto His disciples and He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say thou art Elias. Some say that thou art Jeremiah or one of these prophets." But He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter stood up. You know what he said? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. No earthly man revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." It comes to that personal one-on-one experience with God. Folks, I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that I had that personal one-on-one experience with Him. I didn't have to come to no man. I tell you, I told you before, this mourner's bench has no saving virtue in it, but it's a good place to start seeking after the Lord. Peace was it that one of the writers said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I tell you what, folks, ain't it good to have that joy? Ain't it good to have that peace? Ain't it good to just know that God, who sits on his throne, is as real as he says he is? Ain't that good? Oh, that's some good stuff. But I tell you what, there's these people out there. I'm not trying to dog nobody, don't you think that? But I tell you, there's people out there who need to know that one-on-one experience. And the only way that they can get to that is of us as God's people do our part in this service. The only way you can get to that is not only do we do our part and show them, but folks, we need to pray for that power that God can send and knock on their heart. Folks, you know, I tell you what, this morning, there's people out there today who believe that if they can just get their name on a church roll, and they'll be okay. I tell you what, that's not how I got it. And I tell you what, I've had my name on a few church roll books, I tell you. I was baptized into the membership of Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Westmoreland, Tennessee. And then Dad started pastoring Lynn Martin Missionary Baptist Church in Livingston, Tennessee, where I moved my membership about a couple years after that. And then the Lord led me to move my membership and make it Missionary Baptist Church, where I own my calling to preach. And then he let me move my membership to Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was ordained to the full work of the ministry, and now I was a pastor and still a member of Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Manchester, Tennessee. I'm thankful that not my name was on those church books, but I'm thankful that my name is in the book.
Amen.
I'm thankful it's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20? It says the names that weren't found in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast into a lake of fire. Folks, I tell you today, what we're dealing with is serious business. What we're dealing with, it's literally life or death. You know, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shine. And folks, I tell you what, I'm so thankful that the gospel has not changed one bit. I'm thankful that the gospel hasn't changed one bit. I'm thankful that the Lord's saving grace hasn't changed one bit either. But folks, you know who has changed during this time span? His people. And I tell you what, we need to draw back to him. We need to get near him. We need to get close to him. Oh, I believe that you cannot lose your salvation, but I believe that you can lose the joy of it. And the way that you lose the joy of it is if you let this worldliness come between you and the Lord. And I'm just being honest with you. And folks, I tell you, you know, I sort of got tickled for a minute, you know, when the COVID virus first started. You know, I sort of got tickled for a minute because anything that you can do on Sunday was shut down. Anything that you can do to get out of the Lord's house, it was just shut down. Restaurants were closed. Sports had stopped. And I tell you what, the Lord doesn't like, I'm just being honest with you, the Lord doesn't like people mistreating his house. And the Lord doesn't like for us to not respect that Sunday and not come into his house. I tell you what, it's something that we need to keep. It's something we need to hold on to. And folks, I tell you what, I'm so thankful today that the church of the true and living God, that it has a foundation that Paul says that it cannot be moved. But sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes I get a little worried about the church. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I just get a little worried about her. You know, sometimes I start to wonder, well, who's going to preach to my children if the Lord ever allows us to have them? And he's going to teach my grandchildren and so forth and future generations. But I tell you what, the future of the church is in our hands. The future of the church, it lies on our responsibility to make sure that it's still here and that the gospel is still being preached. And folks, I tell you, we need to be workers for the Lord. I tell you, This world, yes, it's full of so many confused people who don't know the way of salvation. Once you do start talking to them about the way of salvation, they just want to get a little short temper with you and just sort of kick you off. But I tell you what, you cannot enter into the gates of heaven unless you have been saved by the grace of God. And that still holds true to this morning of August of 2020. It still holds true. And I tell you what, hell, it wasn't made for us. I'm being honest with you. You study it out, hell wasn't made for us. It was made for the devil and his angels. But man puts himself there. By what? We believe in having this thing called free will. And when God knocks on your heart, you have a choice to repent or to turn him away. But you need to watch for the choices that you do make. Because this is eternity that we are talking about. And I'm going to be honest, death is sure coming to each and every one of us, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter what kind of plans you got for the future, it is coming. I had a sister. She was in a car wreck back in February, 20 years old, died. I had a friend that I played football with in high school, had a car wreck, 18 years old, died. There's a fella I went to school with, 16 years old, and had died. My uncle passed away last year in his 50s. Folks, I tell you, age doesn't know, or death doesn't know any number of age. It doesn't matter, it doesn't care who you are, but it is coming. And the question is, are you ready to meet him? Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to face eternity? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that for it's appointed man once to die, then after this, the judgment. You have no afterlife. You have no second chance. After death, the judgment. After death, you'll be in heaven or you'll be in hell. And folks, if you don't have that one-on-one relationship with God, you're going to be casted off into that lake of fire. And folks, I tell you, I don't want you to go there. And I tell you, the people there this morning, they don't want you to go there either. We read in the book of Luke about a rich man and Lazarus. And we read how Lazarus was just a beggar, and how Lazarus was even begging for the crumbs that this rich man would have. And we see that one day, the rich man woke his eyes up in the devil's hell. I tell you what, he wasn't there because he was rich. He was there because he didn't have that personal relationship with God. And you know what happened? He looked up and he saw Lazarus in glory. In Abraham's bosom, the Bible says, he said, "Father Abraham, if it be possible, then send Lazarus to just take his finger and dip it into this water so that I can just cool my tongue." You know what that tells me? He felt something. He had taste buds. He was thirsty. I believe he saw something. I believe he still had his senses there. Boy, how terrible would that be to still have all your senses and be in that lake of fire. And you know what? He said, "Father Abraham, if it be possible, send Lazarus to go and tell my brothers about and tell them not to come to this place." You know what he said? "They have Moses and the prophets, and if they don't hear any of them, then what good will what one from the dead do?" Yeah. And folks, this is serious business. We need to stop dropping the ball and get on with it. We need to do the work that the Lord has called us to do as His church. You know, we also read in the book of Luke, I promise you I'm almost done, but we read in the book of Luke in the 14th chapter and the 18th verse about how there was some men who went up to Jesus and said that they all with one consent began to make an excuse. I tell you what, there's an old song that says, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil will provide them just to help you stay away. Yeah. And folks, there's excuses that pop up all the time, is there not? Yeah. One of these days, we're going to give our last excuse. A last excuse will be made. And folks, if we're serving the Lord, we don't need to have any excuses. One of these days, that last excuse is going to be said. We need to be serious about the Lord's work. And I tell you what, the Lord, He is still more than enough today in the society and the world that we live in. He is still the bread of life. He is still the water of life. He is still the great I am. He is still the Lord who sits on His throne and saves souls. But folks, we need to tell people about the great gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is our duty and obligation to the Lord. He still satisfies. And I tell you what, you may not have any money. Well, just come on. It doesn't matter how you look. Just come on. The Lord, I believe, can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. All that matters is they just get this heart right with Him. I had a best friend. He got saved in the bathrooms of Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church. There is an old sister at Landmark in Livingston. She got saved underneath an old sycamore tree. It don't matter where you're at. Some of you got saved in your bedrooms. It don't matter where you're at. It just matters that you just get it right with God. And folks, if we have a testimony of that salvation, let's not be ashamed to say it. You know, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we have something to confess about. You know, and speaking of that personal relationship with the Lord, I'm going to say this and I'll be done, I promise you. But you know, in the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter, we read how God was telling Moses about a Passover that was going to happen in Egypt. And at first, He told them to get a lamb. And you can read this in the 12th chapter. He told them to get a lamb. And then He goes into detail about the lamb, and He calls it the lamb. And then by the end of it, He says, your lamb will be without blemish and without spot. I'm so thankful today that Jesus is my lamb. I'm so thankful today to have that personal relationship with Him. Folks, the question today is, what are we looking for to satisfy us? Are we looking to the world, or are we looking to the Lord? For those that are lost, are you looking to the world, or are you looking to the Lord? We read, Jesus told us and His disciples, He said, where your heart is, there your treasures will be also. He said, don't put your heart in the things of the world, where moth and dust doth corrupt it, but put it on the things above. Where is our heart at this morning? I'm going to end with that question. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. Brother Scott, I turn it back to you.